Getaway Friday, what's cracking? Into our third and final hour, I am Jim Rome. Great to be with you. I am live, I am in Southern California, and I am in that same damn Southern California studio that I've been in throughout the entire pandemic. And I feel great and very lucky to be here. Great to push a little content, talk some sports. The program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. More phone calls before I wrap this thing. But as promised, we start hour number three by having a conversation with an NBA champ. He is a wing for the Indiana Pacers, averaging more than 8 points and 3 rebounds per game this season. He was a Pac-10 all-defensive player at Washington. He was undrafted back in 2011 and still going really strong. Co-host of the Platform Basketball Podcast, a lot to cover with Justin Holiday. Justin, really nice to have you on. You wrote a great piece in the Players Tribune earlier this week, but before we get to that, I want to ask you, how are you and everybody around you doing during this unusual time?
We're doing okay. We're doing well. Obviously, there's a lot of things to be thankful for. So, you know, that's how myself and my family live life. But I want to say appreciate you, having me on. And, we're doing well. I'm in shape, getting ready to go play some basketball and, stand up for, what's right in this country.
All right. It's great to have you on. I appreciate you doing it. And I want to talk to you about playing basketball. And I want to talk to you about standing up for what is right in this country. In fact, in your piece, I want to read a quote. It's going to take me a minute to lay this out. But in your piece, okay, you write, quote, "I am a proud black man, a man who has been mistreated due to the color of his skin, yet I have also been blessed to have crushed the odds against reaching the pinnacle of my profession, and now I'm going to use my rights and unique platform to advocate for change. My open letter to the world is a public commitment to the work that you can expect from me, Justin Holiday," end of quote. So why was it important for you to make a public commitment to the work that you're going to do?
I mean, so, one thing that I understand as being a basketball player and the responsibility I have, other than obviously putting the basketball in the hoop, is we are in a position to where people look up to us. And especially a lot of black people in our communities look up to us to stand up for what is right. Look up to us as examples, and we have that responsibility regardless if we believe it or not. And so, one thing in trying to make my decision if I wanted to come back and play or not, one thing that was important to me regardless of what happened was being in the position to make sure I was, one, showing and speaking up about what is wrong, but showing my people, African-Americans, that you have somebody that is fighting for you. You have somebody that is considered to be successful in this world that is fighting for you, and it's not just, the people that are making the money, the athletes don't really care. They're good anyway. They don't have to worry about this type of stuff. But we actually do because we are black. But I wanted to give our people, that encouragement that, I will stand up and talk. And regardless of if I'm going to play basketball now or not, that's going to happen. And in going to play, one thing that, I was worried about was going to play in basketball just making us forget about everything that's happened. And, I feel like that shouldn't happen anymore. I mean, that should never happen in the past, and there were times when that obviously did, but my main goal is to make sure when I go and play that I'm speaking up about the things and how we're treated wrongly each day, and make sure that this uncomfortable feeling that everyone has continues to happen.
We're talking to Justin Holiday. You also write, Justin, that in the past, when issues of social injustice would arise, you would pray. You would not go public with your thoughts and feelings. As you said, quote, "I was worried about speaking out and losing my job, but I fear that no more," end quote. What changed for you? Why do you no longer have that fear?
Well, I think then, the space I was in mentally was thinking, I'm going to pray for these people that are in as position. And I don't say these people as in black people, but specifically whoever it was that, the family and the person that the stuff happened to. And, obviously pray that things, that the family ends up being able to, figure out what happened, if there's justice for the person that was killed. And then as well as praying for all of my people of us being safe and not having to worry about these dangers. But I at the time, it was things that you wanted to do, and I actually wasn't worried about speaking up about the situation. That was never a problem. I just am a very, very private person, and I'm not the person that goes on social media and talks about all the issues that happen. Now, this is a situation, this is a issue in America that is something that needs to be spoken up for and continually. And at that time, I was just like, I'm going to pray for these people. I'm going to do what I can on this end, but I wasn't just in the space of doing that. Now, other things that I was that I could say was afraid to do was doing things to stand up for, like, for example, kneeling, like Cap did around that time. I was like, you know what, I need to make sure I keep my job. And this is just me being honest. Sure. I was, you know, make sure I keep my job. I don't know how this is going to be with, you know, with the people that are the owners of my team or the NBA, whatever the case may be, because I was just trying to make it in the league. And now I guess it took the situation that happened, you know, with George Floyd and Ahmaud and Breonna Taylor, like, and maybe because we weren't playing basketball and having anything to take our minds and let our minds really and our eyes see exactly and really what's going on. And unfortunately, black people have lived with this all of our lives. We've been in a situation that we've experienced these things and seen it over and over and had this pain. But this time we were able to really, really sit there and not have anything take us away from that pain. And in this time of me sitting and having this time to do that, I was like, this is something I should be speaking up about. You know, you can't be the person that wants to be private anymore. At the end of the day, I believe God blessed me to play basketball for more again than putting the ball in the basket. And that's for me to use my voice and stand up for what is right. And, you know, for whatever reason, it took some time, but like I'm in a space now. It's like, I can't change that. And this is just such a pivotal time for all of us African Americans to be able to stand up and unite, and as well as the people that treat us equally, the people that believe us and fight for us as well, not just black people. That's every colored person, white people, everyone. So this is our time to be able to do that and show, you know, the world again that we want to be on the right side of history, and that's where I want to be.
Justin Holliday is joining us. Justin, let me ask you this. Now, you make the point that there's a misconception that if you criticize something, it means that you're ungrateful or you're unappreciative. What do you make of that argument?
So, you know, in writing this letter, and even in the sense of me thinking about not playing, I know a lot of people don't understand how you can possibly think about not playing basketball and getting paid millions of dollars to do so because of the situation and why I was struggling and trying to decide. And at the beginning of, you know, of my time of thinking if I wanted to play or not, I was, you know, thinking about the NBA is coming back to play, and I know that a lot of people want us to play so they can forget about this, or this can be a situation that happens. So in being saying I am criticizing, it's talking about, you know, the NBA coming back. But I will say at that time, I didn't know what the NBA was going to do to, you know, try to help, you know, with everything and the problems that we have going on in America. This is just the thoughts that were coming out of my head, and that's why it's obviously my open letter and my and what was happening with me. So I was like, okay, the NBA obviously wants us to come back and play and put the ball in the basket, you know, especially in the middle of the pandemic, which seems very, very tough to do, and also with all the injustice, social injustice and racial tension and problems that we have going on. And so I'm thinking like, dang, you know, they just want us to come back and play basketball and just kind of forget about this, and we're going to just make this money. And so that's what I mean by just because I criticize it doesn't mean I'm not grateful. The only reason why I have this platform, the only reason why people want to listen to what I have to say is because I play basketball. The only reason why I make the money I make is because I play basketball, and I'm thankful for that. So I wanted to make sure people understood that it's like I'm not ungrateful for what I have in front of me. I understand what I have in front of me, but sometimes you have to make sacrifices and do certain things to stand up for what is right. And that's what I was trying to make sure I put out there. And to say this, the NBA is doing actually a lot of stuff to try to help with social injustice and, again, the racial issues that we do have. And I'm in talks with my team doing different things. So the thing is, they're in that area of us playing but still doing things to make sure that this isn't forgotten. And that's just huge for us.
Justin Holliday is joining us. So when you think about making that trip down to Florida and living in the bubble, what kind of thoughts do you have?
I mean, the main thing for me, first and foremost, is just leaving my family. That's the hardest part. And again, a lot of people are going to ask, like, you know, why are you so worried about that? You've been home for 3 months, blah, blah, blah. Well, I'm a family man. You know, I have a beautiful wife and two beautiful daughters. One is actually 3 months old, and I've been here every day since the day she was born. And I didn't have that with my first daughter. And obviously wish I did, but the only time, the longest amount of time we missed during the season, the regular season, is maybe 13 days at the most. So, you know, to be gone for 2 months before we can see him or whatever the case may be, 2 months or more, months and a half or more, is something that's just hard to do. And I'm spending every day with my daughter, every single day with my two-year-old daughter, while my wife, you know, obviously has a newborn and breastfeeding and things like that. And I know it's going to be hard on me, but I know it's going to be really, really hard on her. She's a person, she calls me for everything now. And so to leave that and just how it saddens me was really hard. And then obviously, you know, we just don't know what it's going to be like being in the bubble with, our COVID situation we have going on in the world. And that's obviously a concern, and how, you know, we can stay healthy. I mean, everybody just wants to make sure they're healthy. And those are just things that we're worried about. But there is some things that, you know, going to play, like I said, we'll do is it gives us a platform to be able to stand up and talk about the issues we have conversations, do things to make change, help people and advocate for, you know, our people. And I also, I mean, thinking about my brothers, I'll be able to spend some time with my other two brothers as well, which is good too. So like, I always try to find good in everything, but there are concerns with going down, and I'm sure everybody has some type of concern going down to play.
We're talking to Justin Holliday, breaking it all down. All of that makes sense to me. Now, a number of teams and players have been talking about the mental and psychological grind of living in the bubble for weeks on end. I mean, you point out the very obvious. You have to be away from your family. But then logistically, when you go into a bubble and you're going to be there for as long as you are, how are you preparing for that? Like, are you going to bring stuff to keep you entertained or to keep you from getting bored? How are you going to spend your time away from the floor when you're going to be stuck in a room?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I do know that the NBA does have a lot of different activities and things set up down there for us to try to make it as enjoyable as possible. I do know that for sure. But me personally, again, I have my brothers there, so I'm going to try to spend as much time as I can with them. Obviously, Aaron being on my team, we always spend time, but, you know, we don't see Drew as much. So being able to do that will be good. But since I had my second daughter, I like to play the guitar. I taught myself, maybe it's 3 years now, how to play. And so I used to bring it on the road with me when I used to, you know, during the season. And so now I haven't touched it literally in the 3 months that we've been, you know, in quarantine and, you know, having my daughter. And so that's one thing that I would be putting a lot of my time, especially if when we have to be in the room, like the first 2 days when we have to quarantine, I'm going to just get back to playing the guitar and enjoy doing that. And then, you know, do other things I haven't been able to do since, you know, having my kids. I mean, I haven't been able to watch movies or TV and stuff like that like I usually do. So there's going to be things that I'm going to have and be able to do that's going to entertain me that might not entertain others because I haven't been able to do certain things in a while.
I get that. Justin Holliday joining me for a few more moments. I got to ask you about your brother since you mentioned it a couple of times. Now that you've established yourself, you're playing 25 minutes a night on a playoff team and you're getting to do it alongside your brother Aaron. What's it been like to play with him?
I mean, it's been great. I mean, period. You know, me and Aaron are 7 years apart, so I missed a lot of his basketball from high school to when he played in college because, you know, I went to college and then me and my dream trying to get to the NBA playing overseas, I missed a lot of his basketball. So for me to be able to be with him and seeing him play every day, like I don't miss a game. Don't miss a game, don't miss practice. We work out together. And also, you know, help him in his journey too because I've been where he is. As far as how he's thinking mentally, the worries that he has, the struggles that he will go through, I've done it all. And so I'm just thankful I'm able to be here and help him in that space, as well as, you know, to feed off of him and playing games with him. Because one thing that we are both feel the same, and I'm sure he agrees on, is we feel very, very comfortable playing with one another. And we know what the other person's going to do, and we know the other person's not going to let the team down. So being able to play with him has been great, man. And that's, you know, I can't – it's hard to put it all into words because I know one day after we're done, it's going to really, really, really hit me. Like, you know, I got to play with, you know, Aaron on the playoff team, which is unreal.
It's incredible. I mean, you're right. There's no way you can appreciate that right now. That's an amazing thing, and especially when you consider the journey. And, Justin, for those who do not know or maybe don't remember, you were undrafted. You played in Belgium. You played in Hungary. You played in the mm-hmm. D-League. How were you mm-hmm. able to keep and maintain the faith and remain focused on the goal of the NBA that entire time when it had to have been really challenging?
Yeah, I mean, I believe God just put a fire in me to want to work for what I want. All those things, I used to call them failures, pretty much kept my fire burning really, really, really hot. And I'm the type of person that likes to prove people wrong, or I guess I could say prove myself right. And even though I didn't make it right away, I understood that life is a process, not just basketball, but life is a process. And if you think about that, that means that you're going to be able and have a chance to get to where you want if you're putting the time in, if you're consistent doing something correctly, and you continue to believe. There's going to be times when things aren't going to go your way. That's life, period. No one's had a perfect life. No one's gotten everything they wanted. But people have been able to make it by continuing to work. And I understood that at a young age. My dad and my mom taught me at a young age. So I was just able to continue to push forward and understand I can make it. And at the same time, I had Drew in the NBA. I worked out and lived with Drew all my life. So I knew I was good enough to play. And I just believe God, you know, made me to play basketball at the highest level. And again, to be able to use my voice and use, you know, the type of platform that you get from playing basketball for speaking about what is right. And really all those situations I went through actually challenged my faith in the Lord. And I had to grow each time, and make sure, you know, I was in the Word and just learning. And I gained wisdom that way as far as my faith went. And again, now when I'm playing, it's so crazy thinking about the things I went through in the past and how I struggled with some things that now I would never struggle with because I've already been through it. So it's been how my life is supposed to be, and I'm smarter and stronger and wiser now because of it.
That's an amazing answer to me. Justin Holliday, my guest. Now, the thing is, Justin, last thing, and I say last thing because generally when I do this show and in this format, this interview you and I have done is already twice as long as any interview I generally do on the program because you're that good. Needless to say, you have a point of view, so it does not surprise me in the very least that you have your own platform. You're one of the co-hosts of the Platform Basketball Podcast, and you've already had some great guests on your show, including Jamal Crawford, Clyde Drexler, Jamie Foxx, Tom Thibodeau, and more. How much fun are you having with that podcast?
It's actually a lot of fun, especially during the time when we weren't playing basketball, and all of our topics aren't about just basketball, but that's obviously everybody in the group, you know, comes from, and it's amazing. It's actually really cool to see, you know, first time I guess talk about, you know, being able to speak to like Clyde Drexler, like, you know, a legend. To be able to talk to him about the game and just have a normal conversation. That's what I like about our platform is, like, we have real normal conversations to where, you know, I was worried about starting at first because I didn't want to be, like, you know, the reporter that's asking these questions. But it's like I'm literally get to ask them the questions that I've had for so long because I was a basketball player and I was a fan. So it's awesome to be able to talk and converse with them. And then for the younger generation to be able to learn and actually hear about the guys that they might have never seen play. Hear about their experiences and playing against certain people. I think we kind of allow people to be able to, again, the younger kids to be able to talk, not talk, to hear us speak and hear those legends speak about the game. But then another thing that I think is pretty cool is how much the, like, celebrities we speak to love the game. Like Jamie Foxx, like how well he actually knows the game of basketball surprised me. You know, because we know he's a freaking legend in the music and movie industry and acting and doing all that type of stuff and comedy, but he knows the game and his experiences with Jordan and watching Michael Jordan play, his experience with watching Kobe play, like seeing things and like going to these games. Like, you remember when this happened? Well, this is actually what happened because I saw it, and this is actually what happened before that play. Like, to get to those stories is very interesting and exciting for me as being a part of it. That I enjoy really for myself. You know, I'm glad other people get to hear and learn and do things like that. But for myself, it's been fun. And like one episode that I don't know if we've put out, I don't think we put out yet. We actually spoke to an NFL player. His name is Wale, and he talked about the financial side of sports and taking care of your money. And it was very, 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 a very powerful and great interview that we had with him because he talked about how important it was to save your money and what you can do and the things you need to start looking into now as a young athlete. And it was amazing. So, you know, our platform is obviously basketball based, but it's just pretty much helping people and kids to be able to come and watch some to figure out how they can be successful in sports or anything you want to do in life. And I think our group is a very, very good group to be able to do so because we're a whole bunch of guys that made it through hard work. And getting to where we were. So.
Well, and not only that perspective and that point of view, but you're going to be a really good host as long as you maintain that same curiosity and that same interest. Like, I can hear it in your voice. You're pumped up talking about it. You're going to be interesting as long as you're interested. Listen, one, right. I promise, the last question, Michael Jordan, when you mentioned Jordan, what did you think watching that documentary and especially seeing him and Reggie Miller go at each other?
Mm-hmm. Well, the first thing I thought about watching that documentary is, the first thing was Jordan was exactly who I thought he was. I grew up watching Jordan. My pops, you know, had me watching. My favorite teams were the Bulls and the Lakers. And so I grew up watching Jordan. I grew up watching Kobe and Shaq. But Jordan was my favorite player of all time. And there was a reason why he was. Obviously, Jordan killed everyone. He was the best player to play We know that. But there was something else that stuck out to me as well, and it was the work that he put in. And in this documentary, you got to see how serious he was about the game and how much work he put in to become who he was. Another thing that I liked a lot about watching it was seeing Michael Jordan have human moments, if that makes sense. He spoke about times that were pivotal for him in his career, like when he made that game-winning shot in North Carolina. Like, when I think about Jordan, we always think about Jordan as, you know, the closest thing to God, you know, in a sense. Like, Jordan not being from here, you know, being godlike. And to hear him speak about things that way shows you that he is human as well, but it encourages you to, like, yes, there's a pivotal moment that helped Michael Jordan change to become this killer that he was on the court. That same thing can happen for you. You have pivotal moments that help you change. So really take those pivotal moments and use them to your advantage. I think Jordan did a great job at that. He spoke about that. And then I think it was a playoff game he was playing when the coach let him go and just score at the end of the game. And then obviously to see him play against Reggie and see that, first of all, I think a lot of people haven't given Reggie his credit for how good he was. And I know a lot of us, you know, that watch the game know that, you know, Reggie was great, but the hard thing was because Jordan was playing at a time, a lot of players that Jordan played against or played against Jordan that sometimes get their stuff kind of taken down. Like Reggie was you know, great. How efficient he was when he was playing in the games is, like, I go back and look at this stuff, like, it's crazy. And, you know, to see him battle and obviously me playing for the Pacers and stuff, it'd just be dope to be in a situation to where, you know, we're in the playoffs battling for, you know, something that's huge. So watching the Last Dance, man, I could talk about that all day, so I'm not going to keep us on here for a long time. But, again, it was just awesome for me to be able to watch and see a lot more of Jordan. And I think it was good for the younger generation to see, too, to know really who Jordan was inside and out. And let me say one more thing about Jordan that I thought was very, very, very important and for children to actually think about that are playing basketball, younger guys. When you watch the documentary and when he talks about the coaches or when the coaches spoke, he sits there and he's looking the coaches in the eyes. Like, he respected the person that was the coach, regardless if he didn't agree with everything that they were speaking about. He respected them, and he went about the game at such a professional level that I thought it showed that Jordan was great at every aspect of the game, and that was including how he was as a player and being the person that wasn't the coach. So that's all I have to say for it now.
That's great. He's a member of the Indiana Pacers. He is an NBA champion. He's the co-host of the Platform Basketball Podcast. I guarantee you, Justin, somebody, like, I think that you think that was pretty good, but I don't think you know how good that conversation was. Somebody's going to come to you and say, dude, man, Rome, he loves you. And you're going, yeah, okay. But it's going to be true. Like, that was such a good conversation.
Well, I'm
so glad you and I came together and had that conversation. I didn't mean to keep you that long, but it was that interesting. Much respect, and I really do appreciate you, Justin. Thank you so much. That was
no
great.
No problem. Hey, don't apologize. I thought I was keeping you long. So I thank you so much for, you know, letting me come on and speak with you. And, you know, hopefully we can speak again someday.
Yeah, we will soon. You have my word. We'll do that soon. You didn't keep me from anything. That was great. That was tremendous. My man, that was great content. Justin Holiday. The only people mad, Justin, are, well, everybody. You know, the programmers, the people who want to get their bills paid, the stations. But I've got the leeway to do that, right? If it's a really good conversation, it can float. That's Justin Holiday. Great, great story. Great journey. Great basketball family. And a great perspective. I really enjoyed that, obviously. Stay tuned. We'll come right back.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Damn, that's Alvy, that's not me. What do you think of when you think of Belinda Carlisle? I think of Mike Moose Marshall. Damn, Alvy. All right, so quickly, that was such a good interview. So we ran long, but why? Because I can. My thanks to Justin Holiday. That was a legendary Jungle debut. That was the first time I'd ever spoken to him. So the Chicago Cubs are resuming workouts today for the first time since March 12th. One of their starters, Jose Quintana, will not be there. He's very much needed considering the premium on pitching in a 60-game season, right? Well, he underwent surgery on his pitching thumb after getting hurt doing the dishes. That'll happen. Except, no, it won't. I'm willing to bet that if I polled this audience and I asked how many of you had to get surgery after washing the dishes, it would come back in the form of a giant goose egg. I'm willing to bet that if you posed the poll to everybody who ever lived and asked them if they ever needed surgery from doing the dishes, nobody would except this cat. Now, I could do the usual thing and reset the long list of wacky injuries that only seem to happen in baseball, but you already know all those injuries. So instead, to truly understand what this guy did, to truly wrap our head around this guy getting hurt and missing time doing the dishes, I decided to enlist the help of one Garrett Old Man Ike Ritt, member of the XR4TI. You know Ritt. You know Ritt for a number of things. You know Ritt for his horrible diet. You know Ritt for his bizarre games of solo horse where he calls out Paul Pierce for being fat. But you probably don't know that Ritt is childlike with his sports obsession, his sports fandom. Nobody honks harder for their teams than Ritt. And if you say anything bad about any of his squads, it's a reason to go. Ritt will threaten violence. You see, Ritt's idea of heaven is at Dave and Buster's, where he's surrounded by a bunch of lame memorabilia, copious amounts of fried food stacked to the ceiling, and sports as far as the eye can see. So every single day when I walk past this guy in the morning, I look into his office and I see three things. A gigantic Rice Krispie brick, a guy not doing anything at all, and a Cubs flag. So I thought to myself, Ritt, why don't we combine your legendary work ethic, your legendary love of sugar, your legendary love of the Cubs, and finally take advantage of that great sugar rush before you crash and you pass out. Ritt, go into that studio. Track something for me. First, write a parody of Go Cubs Go about Jose Quintana. Put the fan flag down once and for all. Be objective and do your freaking job. Create content, Ritt. Even if the assignment makes you want to kill me or yourself. I gave him all morning to do it. I said, Ritt, you don't do anything all morning anyway except eat sugar. Do this. He's pissed. But he did his job. He did his job. He turned something in. Let's see what the number one Chicago Cubs fan anywhere came up with in regards to his beloved Jose Quintana hurting himself and needing surgery after doing the dishes. Ritt, do your thing.
Baseball season's underway. But go ahead and slot the Cubs in last place. Because Quintana won't be able to play. He just effed his finger up today. They're singing, no Cubs, no. Hey, Cubs, you blow. Jose Quintana, what do you say? Dishwashing is not your game. The Cubs are a joke. They may as well stay home. It wasn't Palm Olive or Cascade to blame for getting that thumb filleted.
Wait a minute, that last line. Did he say it wasn't Palmolive or Cascade that's to blame for that thumb getting filleted? Is that what he just said? Holy crap, Ritt. Look, I don't know if I regret putting that guy to work or if I should have done it sooner. I am conflicted. Is that the worst thing ever or the best thing ever? I always say give me an A or an F. My man may have given us both. Can I hear just a taste of that? Just a slice of that one more time? As always, Ritt, you are a freaking content sugar-eating machine.
He just effed his finger up today.
He just effed his finger up today.
No Cubs, no. Hey, Cubs, you blow. Jose Quintana, what do you say? Dishwashing is not your game.
I don't know what's better, you as a lyricist or you carrying a tune.
It wasn't Palmolive or Cascade to blame for getting that thumb filleted.
It wasn't Palmolive or Cascade for getting that, to blame for getting that thumb filleted. He just rhymed filleted with cascade. Yo, Pops, how'd it feel to mock your favorite team on national radio and TV? It sucked. Yeah, it did. For all of us. I'm glad that I'm heading to Wisco after the show so that guy can cool down a little bit. My man's about to have an aneurysm in there. Hey, remember, Rit. There's always one guy on the staff. Every year, the TV shows I do, the radio show I do. Like, we don't root, man. We're objective. We can't root or the show doesn't work unless you do one of those fanboy shows. If I had a rooting interest, people would always say, yeah, Rome, you only said that because you root, because that's your favorite team. You're not objective. You're not objective. But no matter how long I've done this, there's always one on the staff, you know, some 40 or in the case of Rit, an 80-year-old, who's like, oh, that's my favorite team. Oh, that's my favorite team. They're my favorite team, the Cubs. You don't have a favorite team. Rit, you work in the business. You're objective. We only root for one team around here, Team Content. Now, in your defense, you did come through in a big way for Team Content today. So good job, dude. Good effort. Good job. Have another bucket of sugar. Good job. Good effort. Quick, clones, your reaction to Rit. He's now produced two pieces of content. Two pieces of produced content. I'm waiting on you, James Kelly. Did it live up to the hype? Nobody wanted that worse than Kelly. So Rit is now known for two things. The video of him playing horse in his driveway and talking smack to Paul Pierce. And him singing his audio content about his beloved Cubs.
They're singing no Cubs.
Get it, Rit. Go, Rit. When we come back, if I have time, some reaction. Obviously, week that was. And then I'm out of here for 2 weeks. Way to send me off, Rit. You are something else, dude. No, I mean that. You are something else. Time now for a sports update. Stop talking to me, Rit. You've done enough damage. You've done enough damage to me and my program and my brand. He's trying to hit me on talkback. Here's your sports update. Well, that was one of the most Rit moments ever. And we had another one during the break. So we're going to break, and I'm shaking my head, and I'm laughing. And I say, Rit, damn old man, good job. Good job. And he's dead serious, and he says to me, I've got two more verses if you want them. Dead serious. I'm like, oh, no, I'm good, Rit. We're all good. Absolutely incredible. But see, that's the thing. When I told him, I'm good, Rit, he's like, it's never good enough. Meanwhile, the reaction, 1 for 3, C1, tweets, Rit, Rit, Rit. Tom the Mail Guy tweets, Garrett, Garrett, Garrett. Nathan Appleton tweets, good effort by Rit. Now get back to your bucket of sugar and playing horse by yourself. Juan Rivera tweets, I can't unhear that. Thanks for ruining my weekend, Ike. Sean tweets, Rit is the only Cubs fan who literally lived through the entire 108-year World Series drought. 12 Wood just called it, quote, the best thing ever produced on the Jim Rome Show. Ray and SA tweets, hey, Rit, great job. Finally, that's two for you.
Finally.
Finally. Hey, Alvin, can I get to that week that was? Finally.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
That sounds pretty damn good. I am live. I am Jim Rome. And you are in the jungle. What's cracking? All right, so starting right here. One of the most New England Patriot days in recent memory. Patriots got a Patriot.
Yeah!
Signing Cam Newton for walk-around money is the second most Patriots thing ever. The most Patriots thing ever is doing it on a day where they got slapped for cheating again. I love that move for him. I love that move for them. Why they were cheating, allegedly, with the Bengals, I will never know.
Come on, guys.
Dave Clawson is joining us.
Our ability to just lock ourselves in the film room is, I don't think, an option we have anymore. I need to listen. I need to learn. I've got to become a great advocate for you, but you guys got to help me do that.
My theory, Jeff from Richmond has been devouring Cuddy's chickens. Instead of cameras, may want to set up cranes on the property with nets the size of batting cages, strategically filling them with Big Macs.
Give it to him, flight deck. A golden ticket. Hey, James, if either you find that golden ticket or you crack open a mic and you sing him. Bob Melvin, good to talk to you. Stay safe.
You got it, Jim. Hey, you're a horse guy, I hear, right?
I am.
And I've been volunteering over at a place called Tierra Madre, which is a horse and human sanctuary. It is such a terrific place.
He is Tom Haberstroh.
I went back and put an asterisk on every championship. Every championship deserves an asterisk if you want to put one on 2020.
That's exactly what you think that is. Poulter hammering a biscuit. Remember when I said the gallery has not been that missed in golf? Well, they are now. To drown out Slappy Cheeks Poulter. Yeah, thanks, James.
J.R. Smith thought they had the lead.
How good of a dude.
He didn't know the score.
That LeBron would want him back.
That's a bad mistake by J.R. Smith.
After he cost him that game by not knowing the score.
I can't say I was sure of anything at that time.
That's how good of a dude J.R. Smith is. Ross Tucker is joining us.
What I'm about to say isn't really about just you or me. It's about America, Jim. Try to conjure up a situation in which yellow mustard is better than spicy mustard. I'll give you a hint. You can't. Like, who puts yellow mustard on a brat?
So forget about ripping beers off people's faces and making them eat it. Mike and Indy, I'm going to and make you eat it.
Sonny, I think you're done for a little while. And by a little while, I think I mean forever.
It is going to be 75-degree dew point.
Twitter. Good looking out. Rome isn't really used to 75-degree temps. Bella, bravo.
Degree dew point.
I'd like to take this chance to apologize.
To absolutely everybody. I'm one of you, man. Pay taxes there, damn it.
I just don't get your vitriol towards Huey Lewis.
What's next? Huey Lewis and the News are better than the Beatles? Better than the Stones? Better than the Who?
I know you're telling people about the Who.
Take your little battle of Huey Lewis versus Styx. Go fight that off in the corner, all right? Damn, Rit, this is your fault.
Game on.
Email.
Before Tiger says, not in my swing. You can hear Ian Poultry unloading a wet fart.
Not in my
swing. Not on my show, Drew. 5 shows, 8 days later, and apparently the war is over.
We did it!
Smoking Jay Cutler has won, and he is coming home. Now, if that raccoon has family members, then there will be a score to settle.
I'm kind of tired of hearing all these athletes complain about the bubble and this and that. Why? Because you're not going to get some tail for 3 months? Relax. You'll get over it. You'll get all the tail you want, especially if you win a ring at the end of the season.
Commercial sex purchaser and manipulating his genitals. If you aren't disputing the allegations, man, take a deal and walk. Put it all behind you.
For the love of God.
Put it behind all of us.
Please.
I can tell you what he's eating. HGH and donut. That's added to his muscle, and he's ripping anal audio.
He ran down his diet. It did not include HGH or donuts or use of the word anal.
Jim, we all know these guys are going to punch the clown out there, but what we don't really know is who's going to punch it the most. I think the early favorite, I'm guessing, has to be JJ Red.
No, you did not just do that. Mercedes Lewis is my guest.
The road to success is always under construction. I just go out there and be me, man, and living my life like I'm on a one-day contract, boss.
The Hacksaw information. Did he really think his show was going to get syndicated over you?
I just really like the cut of your jib. You don't pull punches, but you elevate the conversation. You're smart. It's funny as heck.
Drew Tranquil.
I do cold showers. I'll typically do some type of cold water therapy.
Ladies and gentlemen, the official, unofficial mayor of Huntington Beach.
Thanks, Jen Silk. It's 1-800-636-BRA. This is the new Jim Rome Show clone violations line.
What a difference then and now. Congratulations.
Wasn't Palmolive or Cascade to blame for giving that thumb fillet?
Does that sound like Asia?
Maybe. I doubt it.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me, Jim.
My tie's on the beach.
Love it.
It's all factories.
You're great.
I fly you in, definitely from my funeral, so
hopefully we can speak again someday.
Northern Wisconsin. What is awaiting me when I arrive Saturday?
Good night.
Now. Damn, Alvy, that is so good. That is so, so good. That is such a good segment. That's how I know this is a damn good radio show, because all of that happened this week. That's not an accumulation of material from a year, 5 years, 10 years, my body of work. That all happened this week during a pandemic. All of that. You know why? To quote the man himself, hey, man, I'm just living my life on a one-day contract, boss. That's a good way to approach it. We're about done here. Cascade, Palmolive. No, that's not Palmolive or Cascade to blame for getting that thumb filleted. Hey, Rit, did you have any help writing that, or did you write that all by yourself? That's what I thought. Yeah, I got two more verses if you want them. Nope, I do not. Finally. Yo, Wisconsin, what's up? I will see you tomorrow. So I'm off in the next 2 weeks. I've got to get that vacation time in.
2 weeks.
Yeah, maybe you're happy about that. Maybe you're not. But if you're not, you're really not going to be happy when you find out what my next 2 weeks are. Anyway, now we are done.
Now,
time for a summer break. Clones, thank you very much for bearing with me as we powered through the first half of the year. I'm going to take 2 weeks off, then I will be back, and I'll hit it hard. My thanks to Justin Holliday, Tom Izzo, Drew Tranquil. I want to salute the XR4TI for absolutely busting their ass during the pandemic. My entire crew. Everybody working the show, booking the show, selling the show, marketing the show. Everybody's gone extremely hard to keep this thing moving during the pandemic. Thank you very much. If you're looking for something to do, take a deep dive. Check out our podcast during the break. Thanks for listening. See you in a couple of weeks. I'm out.